Thank you for listening to the Freedom Life Podcast. Please enjoy part three of our series, Best Sermon Ever.
Well, I like to begin each week with an attempt at humor. Two ladies had died, and then when they got to heaven, Peter met them at the gate. Said, you'll be happy here as long as you follow this one main rule. Here's the rule. Whatever you do, don't step on the ducks. If you step on a duck, they make a nasty noise, it bothers everybody, and there's going to be a penalty. Well, they both did the best that they could, but a week later, one of the ladies accidentally stepped on a duck. It let out a large cry, and all of a sudden, there was St. Peter. He walked over to the lady with a homely and ugly, just bad smell, just a guy that was very unattractive. And he said, listen, I warned you not to do it, and for the next week, you're going to be chained to this man. The other lady that was with her took notes. She's like, whatever I do, I'm not going to step on a duck. And wouldn't you know it, about a week later, St. Peter came to her. But this time, came with a gorgeous hunk of a man. Tall, good-looking, muscles great, smile, smelled great. She said, man, this is incredible. I know I'm in heaven. I'm not sure what I did to deserve this. When she looked at the guy looked at her. He's like, well, I know what I did to deserve this. I stepped on a duck. Isn't that terrible? That is terrible. So mean. Hey, grab your Bibles. Turn with me in the book of Genesis, chapter 26. And I want to tell you a story here this morning. I want to take a moment, welcome each of our guests that are joining us online from just all over the place. And welcome all of our guests that are here in the house today. Come on, give them a warm Freedom Life welcome. Great to have you here today. You can do a little bit better than that. You got to use your hands when you do it. Come on. Great to have you here. And so thankful you're here today. So best sermon ever. And so I have a message that I want to share with you. And I don't know that it's my best sermon ever. I have a message I wanted to preach this week. Come back next week for that one. But I have a message that the Lord dropped into my spirit this week. And I'd like to share with you. Today I want to talk to you about how to live a no-strife life. The Bible says in the book of Romans, and it's in Romans chapter 14, it says, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Everybody say righteousness. Come on, with a little energy. Righteousness, the right things in our lives, peace, and joy. Those are the things that God has for you and I. Another way to say that is God desires that you would have a no-strife life. But there's some decisions that you need to make to walk in to that kind of life. And today I want to take you to a story that I've just been just reading this week. God put this in my mind this week when I was praying for you. I shared it with our staff and our men's group, and it's a little different take for what I'm going to share with you. But I want to take you to a story in Genesis chapter 26, about a man named Isaac. Now, the Bible says that God blessed Abraham, and God was going to bring the nations from him. The Jewish nation came from Abraham, and we know in the Old Testament, talks about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God had given Abraham an incredible promise. He said, you don't have any kids now, but the Duggars won't have anything on you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you lots of kids, like the sand of the seashore, like the stars in the sky will be your inheritance. And Abraham was blessed. And then Isaac came along, who was his son. And he received the promise of his father. He had a promise from God. And as he began to walk in his life, he experienced the blessings of God as well. But he also experienced some of the things that you and I experience, and that would be strife. Everybody say strife. And so the Bible says that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. The enemy wants to take your peace. He wants to take your joy. He wants to take your righteousness, everything that is part of the kingdom culture that God wants you to have on the inside. He wants to steal that away. He wants to bring strife into your life. Now, here's what strife is. It's a bitter, sometimes violent conflict or dissension, an act of contention, to struggle, to fight. In other words, it's the opposite of things going well. You don't like going to your job because there's so many issues. You don't feel like going home because your marriage is seemingly in shambles. You don't want to talk to your kid because, well, they'll just be contrarians and ignore your advice. You're struggling on the inside. You haven't slept real well because you made some decisions that weren't the best. And you've allowed strife into your life and into your heart. That strife is a spirit, and it's not a spirit that comes from God. God wants to fill your life with a spirit of joy, a spirit of peace, of righteousness. He wants you to sleep well. He wants you to succeed even in the midst of your enemies. And today, I'm going to teach you what the Bible says about how to do that. Come on, are you ready? Turn to your neighbor and say, it's about to get good. Come on, just tell them that right now. Turn to your second choice and tell them it's about to get slap your mama good. Come on, tell them that. You got to raise your level of expectation. Here we go. Genesis chapter 26, verse 1 says, a severe famine now struck the land, as had happened before in Abraham's time. So Isaac moved to Gerar, where Abimelech, everybody say Abimelech. Come on, just a little faster, Abimelech. Abimelech, Abimelech. Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, lived. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, don't go down to Egypt. Say it with me. Don't go down to Egypt. Come on, say it again. Don't go down to Egypt. He said, don't go down, but do what I tell you to do. Live here as a foreigner in this land, and I will be with you. I will bless you. I'll confirm that I will give all these lands to your descendants, just as I solemnly promised Abraham, your father. I'll cause your descendants to become as numerous as the stars of the sky. I will give them all these lands, and through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Listen to this. I will do this because Abraham listened to me, and he obeyed all my requirements, commands, decrees, and instructions. So Isaac stayed exactly and did exactly what God told him to do. See, in the midst of difficulty, it's very easy to follow your heart, to follow your emotion, to follow your own wisdom, or what you think is good. Sometimes we get into a financial bind and we say, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to operate in this way. And we begin to operate differently than what God tells us to do. We get an issue with our marriage. We get an issue with other people, maybe at the workplace. And we begin to operate differently than what God tells us to do. I want to encourage you, number one, write this down. Here's the revelation. Number one, you need to follow God's word to receive God's promise. See, Isaac had a promise from his, not just his father Abraham, but his father God. You and I are heirs according to that same promise. He desires to bless you. He desires to give you favor. He wants his face to smile upon you. He does not want you to live in strife, broke, busted, and disgusted all the days of your life. But here's the deal. You need to listen to your father's voice. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 8, it says in Proverbs chapter 14, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end is the way of death. Now, we recently were on vacation, and on our way back up to stopping at one of our church plants, we stopped at Dollywood in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. How many of you have ever heard of Dollywood before? Anyone? Okay, how many of you have been to Dollywood? Anybody been to Dollywood? Well, we went there and we decided, you know, we're just going to have a lot of fun. It's going to be great. And we spent 2 days there with Michelle's mom and family and all those things and our family. And we just had an absolute blast. And when we first got there, my boys, my two youngest, they were so excited. They said, Dad, we want to ride the roller coasters. Now, you need to understand, when we go to Dutch Wonderland, they don't like the roller coasters. Okay, we little roller coasters. And they're like, we want to ride the roller coasters. And I said, I don't think that you do. I don't think that we're going to do that. And they said, no, Dad, we want to do it, man. It's going to be awesome. And I'm like, you know what? I wouldn't recommend it. I don't think it's going to be so awesome for you. And Colby, who's 9, and Carter, who's 10, no, we want to ride them. Now, I do not, how many of you enjoy roller coasters? Just raise your hand up, okay? Okay, a lot of you. How many of you, you only ride roller coasters because of public pressure and shaming? Okay, that's pretty much me. I'll do it just because other people will, and I don't want to be a sit. But if I can avoid it, I'm happy not to, you know, feel like I'm going to throw up all over the place. Come on, somebody, can I get a witness in the house, you know? And so what my boys did not know is that they're about to ride on a brand new roller coaster. It was themed after a tricked out 1950s hot rod. It was known as the Lightning Rod. It's brand new. It's brand new and is the fastest and largest wooden roller coaster in the world. It goes from zero, and you can see it behind me. You go ahead and play that. From zero to 45 miles per hour right from the beginning. They shoot you out more than 20 stories into the air, where you then go more than 70 miles an hour, falling. Can I just say, it was absolutely terrible. I was on the coaster, and you know those moments where you're falling, you're like, okay, it's almost done, and it's still not done? It was that coaster. I was like, this is awful. I closed my eyes. I held on till Jesus would return, or the ride would stop. And as I'm thinking, I'm riding along, I'm thinking, I'm giggling, because I'm like, these boys just learned a valuable lesson. There is a way that seems right to a man. Come on, somebody. But in the end, listen, you need to listen to your father's voice. We got off that ride. They were whiter than I am, I'm telling you. We were going back to another ride later that day, and it was just a family roller coaster, no big drops. My one son said, I can't do it, Dad. I can't go on it. My other son, he got on, almost tears in his eyes. I really want to get off this. And I told him it was too late with a smile. I looked at them. I said, you want to go back on the Lightning Ride again, guys? They said, we never want to go on that ever again. I said, you better behave then. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. You see, what Isaac did is he could have followed his own path. Well, I know what to do in this moment. I know how I'm going to get around this. But he made a decision that he was going to listen to, and he was going to honor the Lord. Now, here's the second thing. You need to ignore your emotions, and you need to trust the promises. Ignore your emotions and trust the promises. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it's about to get good. Turn to your neighbor and say, just strap your seatbelt on. Come on. Come on, just tell him. Turn to your other, tell him, get ready. Come on, stay with me. Just shake it off. God's about to do something. Listen, here's the deal. You got to make a decision to get over yourself. You just got to know that you are not as smart as God. And because you feel it doesn't mean it's the right thing. Don't trust your emotions. Trust the promises of Almighty God that are yes, that are amen. You can guard your life upon them. You can trust him. God is well able. He knows what to do. Stop consulting your past to determine your future and trust what God says and take a big old step into all the things that God has for you. I'm going to get you past the golf clap today. I'm telling you, God wants to do something big on the inside, but you have to make a decision. You can't trust. You got to trust the promises. You do not have because you do not ask. My son Carter, we had stopped at the Ark Encounter. It is a life-size replica of Noah's Ark. They raised $100 million. It's an amazing place you can walk through. And they teach you what it could have been like. And they give the science behind it, all those things. Absolutely amazing. We had a blast. When we were done, we walked off the ark. And we were walking around for other things to do. They had camel rides and everything in the back of that area. And my son Carter said to me, he said, Dad, I'd love to ride a camel. It's on my bucket list. He's 10. And I said, hey, I didn't know you had a bucket list. That's really awesome. What else is on it? And he's like, well, world domination and make my brothers my slaves. And I said, okay, Joseph, we can't do those things, but I could pay for the camel ride. And so we went back, and here's the picture of he rode the camel. He was pumped. He was, you know, fist bumping all those things and did all those different things. And he got that because he asked. Many times we talk ourselves out of the miracle, and we don't ask, and we don't trust and see what God can do. Now, let me take you back to the story for just a moment. It says, the men who lived there, verse 7, asked Isaac about his wife, Rebekah. He said, she's my sister. Because he was afraid to say, she's my wife, he thought, because they'll kill her or kill me to get her because she's so beautiful. But sometime later, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out his window and saw Isaac caressing Rebekah. And he's thinking, you're either a messed up dude or you lied to me, one of the two, right? And so he said, Abimelech called for Isaac and said, she's obviously your wife. Why did you say she's my sister? Because I was afraid someone would kill me to get her from me, Isaac replied. How could you do this to us, Abimelech exclaimed. One of my people might easily have taken your wife and slept with her, and you would have made us all guilty of great sin. Then Abimelech issued a public proclamation, anyone who touches this man's wife will be put to death, and then everyone obeyed. Now, this is interesting. Stay with me for a moment. I mentioned that God doesn't consult your past to chart your future. Unfortunately, Isaac did. Because if you go to Genesis chapter 20, his daddy, Abraham, did the same exact thing. It was a different king, a king of Abimelech, a king of the Philistines, different time period. Abraham shows up and he's scared. He's scared that they're going to kill him to take his wife. So he lies and says, Sarah's my sister. And the same exact thing happened years before in that same area. And I read that and thought to myself, how dumb do you have to be to not learn from the example of others? And then I looked at my life and I was like, I guess I'm pretty dumb because I've done that more than once. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking about you this time. Come on, just tell him that. Man, we have these issues in our lives. And now here's the deal. He didn't make a decision at that moment to trust his emotions. Because he couldn't figure it out and stay in control, he assumed that God wasn't in control. So he took matters into his own hands and he opened up strife into his life. And whenever you place yourself in a position that God has reserved only for himself in your life, you're open up strife and the righteousness and peace and joy that God has designed for you to have will be absent in your life. And today, if you're in an issue where you say, you know what, Sam, I've done that. I've made emotional decisions. I haven't trusted the promises of God. I haven't learned from the past. I took a wrong step. Can I encourage you? God did not give up on Isaac, but God delivered him and brought him back and said, I'm still going to bless you. I'm still going to keep you. I'm still going to put my favor upon you. You don't fall from the grace of God. You fall to the grace of God. And no matter what you've done and no matter where you've been, you're still chosen. You're still called. You're still loved. God is still for you and not against you. You can get back up. Come on. If you believe that, you'd be a little more excited about that. Listen, he is an almighty God that's well able to meet you where you are. It is. Thank you. John 14, 27, God, you're so good. He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid or fearful. You may be like Isaac saying, man, I'm scared. I want to encourage you, follow the voice of the Lord. Well, Sam, you don't understand that, you know, I'm out of the money at the end of the month. Well, that's fine. That's where you need a miracle. I know a God who does them. You don't understand what's going on. I got strife in my life. I can't sleep. I have all these things. I want to encourage you, stop trusting your emotions. Begin trusting your God. Here's the third thing. Remember that obedience will get you into favor, and it can get you into trouble. Turn to your neighbor and just tell them, favor ain't fair. Come on, just say it with a little attitude. Favor ain't fair. Don't drink the haterade. Don't look at my life and be jealous for me or be jealous of me. Be jealous for me. Want God's best. Now, here's the deal. When you obey and walk in obedience to the commands of God, you experience the favor of God over your life. Listen to what the Bible says in the story. The Bible says that when Isaac, verse 12, this is right after he screwed up, then when Isaac planted his crops that year, meaning he did the next thing that he was supposed to do. He took a step of obedience. He didn't wait on God. He didn't just stay there in his past in strife. He took a step forward, and he planted for a new crop. And the Bible says that he harvested 100 times more grain than what he planted, for the Lord had blessed him. He became a very rich man, and his wealth continued to grow. He acquired so many flocks of sheep and goats, herds of cattle, and servants that the Philistines became jealous of him. And then the Philistines filled up all Isaac's wells with dirt. It's like they came and let all the air out of his tires. They're just mad about it. These were the wells that had been dug by the servants of his father, Abraham. Here's a thought I want to give to you about this. Man, when you make a decision to honor the Lord and keep strife out of your life and get into agreement with God, because strife enters into your life when you get out of agreement with God's word and you get out of agreement with others. And so when you take a step back into agreement and you take your next step, then God and his favor will bless you. Other people won't be able to understand it. Isn't that the guy that just did that? Isn't that the lady that just made that stupid decision? But listen, God doesn't hold our past against us. He has released good things into our future. You may be beating yourself up today. God's wanting to build you up today. God wants to release his blessings over your life, because your blessings aren't because you're good. The blessings that are coming is because Jesus is good, and he's qualified you for every future that God has for your life. That's something to get excited about. You don't have to stay in the sins of your past. You don't have to live according to the limited future or the limited reality of maybe your parents. But God wants to bring you to a new place. And God blessed Isaac 100-fold. I love what it says in the New Testament, that God would bless us 30, 60, and 100-fold. I don't even pay attention to the 30 and 60, because I want 100-fold blessing in my life. How about you? If you're going to believe, you might as well believe big in a big God. I believe that God wants to give you 100 more times peace than you've ever had before. Righteousness, joy. I believe what he wants to prosper you. I believe that he wants to bless you even financially. God is a good God. He delights in the prosperity of his servant, and he adds no sorrow to it, the word says. So today, I want to encourage you. Rise up. Be full of faith. Be encouraged today. Thank you. Be encouraged today that your obedience will get you into favor, but not everybody's going to like you. I know that comes as a shock to many of you. It came as a shock to me as well. When I was in fifth grade and I found that this kid didn't like me and he really wanted to beat me up, and then I went to the next grades and there was more people didn't like me, and then I got older and there's still people that don't like me, and still today people are drinking the Haterade. Have you experienced that in your own life? See, when you have the favor of God over your life, people will look and say, don't we have about the same job, yet he seems more blessed than me, or she seems more blessed than me? I mean, I married someone prettier than he married, or I married a better-looking man than he married, but they seem happier than we are. They just have something that we don't have. See, favor ain't fair, but it also will get the attention. Listen, you have an enemy. You have an enemy. Did you hear me?
Warning. Warning. Warning.
You have an enemy who wants to come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He wants to take your favor. He wants to take your peace. He wants to take your blessing. And I want to encourage you that don't let him do it. The enemy can come against you. I love what happened here. The Bible says that he planted crops, he was blessed, and then they came and they filled up his wells with dirt. There's always a problem that comes when you're believing for the promise of God. But look past the problem. Stay in faith, believing. God knows how to fulfill his word over your future. Amen. Now write this down. Don't give away your power. Let me explain. Agreement is the place of power. It's one of the keys of God's kingdom. Man, you got to bring somebody next week. This is too good to keep to yourself. Agreement is the place of power. Disagreement brings powerlessness. Matthew chapter 18, verse 19 says, If any of you will touch and agree on that one thing, then your Father in heaven will hear from heaven, and he will perform it on your behalf. One of the keys of the kingdom is the power of agreement. When you walk in agreement, you walk in power. When you're in disagreement, you are powerless. If you don't believe that, I'll give you an illustration. If you have children and you can't stay in agreement, here's what happens. Mom, I want to go out tonight. Can I go? No, I want you to stay home, do your homework. Dad, can I go out tonight? Sure, if you want to. Who's in control of the house? Parents, if you are out of agreement, you're not the leader of your home. Your children are. And you'll obey them to whatever they want you to do. But when you get in agreement, you have power. And authority begins to flow through that. When you get into agreement with God and his word, and agreement with other people, then strife comes out of your life and the blessings begin to flow. But you're going to have to make a decision. You're going to have to walk past some things. Let's continue in the story as we bring this together. It says, finally, Abimelech ordered Isaac to leave the country. Go somewhere else, he said. You've become too powerful for us. In other words, I'm tired of you being around me with all your blessings. So Isaac moved away to the Gerar Valley where he set up their tents and settled down. He reopened the wells his father had dug, with which the Philistines had filled in after Abraham's death. Isaac also restored the names Abraham had given them. There's a powerful message in that. Verse 19, Isaac's servants also dug in a Gerar Valley and discovered a well of fresh water. But then the shepherds from Gerar came and claimed the spring. They said, this is our water. And they argued over it with Isaac's herdsmen. So Isaac named the well Esek, which means argument. Do you know that person? Come on, you know that person, right? Isaac's men then dug another well. Listen to this. But again, there was a dispute over it. So Isaac named it Sitnah, which means hostility. And then the Bible says he abandoned those wells and he moved forward. Now, if there's any part of the message that I said, this is the word from heaven for you, this is it. Some of you have been digging wells. You've been standing on the promises. You've encountered strife. For some of us, we invite strife in our lives. Just when somebody, I was about to go into strife as we were driving to Coatesville today, and the person in front of me forgot what the speed limit was. It's amazing what can get us in strife. Isn't that true? Some of us lift our hands on Sunday morning and use sign language on Monday morning because we got strife in our life because that person cut us off. We give away our peace too easily. I love what Isaac did. He said, you know what? This one here, this is an argument. I'm not giving my power to this. They walked to the next well. They dug it again. His enemies came. They were hostile. He said, you know what? I'm not giving away my power, because I'm staying in agreement with God's promises. The Bible says he abandoned those places and he walked past and dug a new well. That's what some of you need to do today. You've been fighting about things that you don't need to fight about. I want to encourage you to not try to have the last word. Married people, are you with me? How do you invite strife in your life? By your words. Your words, your pride, and your opinions. Don't be a critic. Don't give away your power by always being negative, always needing to have the last word. Well, I dug this well, and this is my well, and I don't care what you do, it's mine. Hey, this is my well. I've had this well, this was my dad's well, and I'm gonna fight you for it. No, 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 that's not what Isaac did. He said, that's fine. I'm not gonna fight with you. I'm not gonna give away my power. I don't want any strife in my life. I want righteousness, joy, and peace by the Holy Spirit. I'm trusting God. I'm going to dig a new well. And that same God that gave me the old wells, he can bless me in a new way. He can provide for me. Listen, don't go fighting in your workplace. Don't go arguing with people in your family. Stop giving away your power. Stop giving away that no strife life that God has for you. Make a decision. You know what? You can have that well. It's not a big deal. I'm going to dig something new. And I'm believing believing that God can meet my needs exceedingly, abundantly more than I could ask, think, or imagine. He's a good God. So I'm going to keep my peace today. I'm going to keep my joy today. I'm not going to give it to you. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to debate with you. I'm not going to fight with you on Facebook. I'm going to keep my joy. I'm going to keep this strife out of my life. I'm not giving away my power today. Come on. You need to walk past the disagreement so that you can find a place of agreement. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together unless they are agreed? The answer is no. You have to find a place of agreement to live from, or you need to find a new location. Get strife out of your life before it gets into your heart. Strife comes into your life because you've allowed it into your heart. Strife comes because things didn't work out the way that we thought that they should. Number five, here's the decision that you need to make, and I want to close with this thought. You need to make a decision to keep praising the promise giver and keep praising the promise keeper. Where does that come from? Stay with me. Abandoning that one, Isaac moved on. He dug another well. This time there's no dispute over it, so Isaac named the place Rehoboth. Rehoboth Beach. Who wants to go? It wasn't the beach, but it was Rehoboth. It means open spaces. And he said, at last, the Lord has created enough space for us to prosper in this land. You know, in just a matter of a number of weeks, we'll sign an agreement on land that's moving forward, and God will give us enough space for our church to continue to grow and reach more people for the kingdom and the glory of God. We've had to dig some wells. It's taken some time. I thought you'd be a little more excited than that. Come on, isn't that good? I just want you to know the Bible says when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies be at peace with him. Don't be obsessed about the promise or the problem in your life. Be possessed by the promise that God has for you. From there, Isaac moved to Beersheba, where the Lord appeared to him on that night. He arrived. He said, I am the God of your father, Abraham. Don't be afraid. I'm with you, and I'll bless you. I will multiply your descendants. They'll become a great nation. I'll do this because of my promise to Abraham, my servant. And you know how Isaac responded in that moment? This is so good. It's the same thing that you and I are about to do right now. Worship team, come on. Stand with me all over the house this morning. It's the same thing that we're about to do right now. The Bible says that Isaac built an altar there. He had a time away with God. He built an altar to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord at that place. And then his servants dug another well. And wouldn't you know that Abimelech comes back into the picture and said, hey, man, we want to be your friend now. You're so blessed. God has done so many good things in you. We want to have an agreement with you. And everyone around him, he found favor. There was no strife in his life. And listen, maybe what needs to happen today is not just you need to keep walking past disagreement and dig a new well and stay in agreement with God. Maybe today you need to say, you know what? Life hasn't been good. There's been some difficulties. There's been some battles that I've been through. But today, I'm going to build an altar. Today, I'm going to worship God. I may not feel the peace. I may not feel the joy and righteousness of the Holy Spirit. But I'm not trusting my emotion. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to get out of the will of God. If I can't figure it out, I know that God's going to work it out. I'm going to stay in faith. So I'm going to worship God. I'm going to praise. I'm going to trust God that he's going to make a way. And today, come on, declare it with me. There will be no strife in my life. I'm going to walk in the favor of God. God's goodness is going to flow in me. It's going to go through me. And God's going to use me for the saving of many people's lives. Someone needs to know that God loves them. Someone needs the peace of God that's on the inside of you. And today, we're going to declare right now as we close, we're going to trust and believe God that we're going to walk out of here, no strife in our life, and we're going to walk out in the favor and the goodness of God. Are you with me?